John chapter 18, I think it's verse 38. About truth. What is truth? And I have done a lot of reading some very good people until I ran across this scripture, and it made me stop and start thinking about something. Please don't think that I'm a heretic, okay? Because I'm going to say some things today that may, on the inside of you, bother you. But please just, it's where my heart's at. It's where I believe the Spirit of God is leading me. It's about truth. We have a real problem with truth in this country. I was telling Bob this morning, two elderly gentlemen, they were avid fishermen. They'd fish all over, and every year they'd get together to fish. And it's time they were in Canada, and were fishing and in their boat, and the one guy back in the back of the boat, yes, the guy in the front of the boat, he says, George, he says, have you had any good luck this year? George says, Ralph, I sure have. He says, I caught a 300-pound salmon. And Ralph looked at him and he says, well, he says, my luck has not been that big, that good. He says, but I did hook something on the bottom of the lake a month or so ago, reeled it in. It was an old rusty lantern. And he says, by golly, the light was still going in that thing. And they went on fishing quietly until they got out of the boat and went to have dinner, and they sat down, and George says to Ralph, he says, Ralph, he says, I'll knock 250 pounds off of that salmon if you'll blow that light out in that lantern. You'll get it. Everybody, wait for it. Truth. Truth. George Barna, who is a phenomenal man, he researches and studies churches. He studies culture. He studies the religion in culture. And in 2012, I believe it's when these came out, he said that, what do Americans think about truth? He says, by a 3-to-1 margin, 64% to 22%, adults say truth is always relative to a person's situation. If you need to lie, lie. Truth is only what you make it for the situation that you're in. Situational truth. Situational ethics. And the perspective is even more lopsided when it comes to teenagers. People are most likely to make their moral and ethical decisions on the basis of whatever feels right or is comfortable in that situation. I remember that from the 60s. And even as a teenager, that bothered me. Even as 14, 15 years old. Anybody remember Laugh-In? All you ancient old folks? Remember that wall that they had of all them little windows, and that people would stick out their heads and they'd say something stupid? Well, some of the stupid stuff that I heard come out of those windows was, if it feels good, do it. You know, do your own thing. And there was a seed that was planted there. And even I, as a teenager, recognized something that was being said that I had not been raised to believe. I had been raised to believe that people, when they told you to do something, you did it. And when they told you, don't do this, don't do it. The Bible foresaw this time when men would call evil good and good evil. Pontius Pilate asked this question. What is truth? John chapter 18. I don't know why I don't find the scripture myself. I apologize for that. It makes me crazy. At the place where Jesus is ready to die. Verse 37, then Pilate said to him, therefore, you are a king. Jesus answered, "You say correctly, for I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pontius Pilate asks him the question, "What is truth?" As I begin to meditate on this, I begin to feel something stirring on the inside of me. I don't think I'm far from wrong. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And he asked the wrong question. The question that he should have asked is, "Who is truth?" Because Jesus, back in John 14:6, he said truth is wrapped up in a human body. "I am the way. I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the truth." And suddenly, in this little feeble mind, things begin to click. Timothy wrote, or Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said in Timothy chapter 3 and starting at verse 5, he goes through this whole end time kinds of things. "In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of themselves." He goes into being wicked, prideful, hater of parents. And he goes down and he gets down to verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power." That is 90% of the churches in the world right now. They are churches with a set of rules and regulations, but they are without power. Because they are no longer teaching God, they're teaching doctrines of men. "Turn away from such as these. They are the kind who worm their way into households and captivate vulnerable women who are weighed down with sins and led astray by various passions." Always learning. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our seminaries are teaching truth according to whoever was started their seminary. If you go to Dallas Theological Seminary, one of the biggest and most famous seminaries in the world, you're going to get truth from a Baptist perspective. If you go to a Knoxville Seminary, you're going to get John Knox. You're going to get Presbyterian theology. And it's sad to say, if you go to Lee University, the Pentecostal School of Theology, you're going to get teaching that has been around for 100 years. And what's happening now in the church, and it's happening all over this world, if you just take some time to research what's going on, you will find out that the Holy Spirit is beginning to raise up within the church. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And people are suddenly very, very uncomfortable because we haven't done that this way. And congregations split and congregations go, some people go somewhere else. It's simply because this is not the way I was taught. Because we've been looking for truth in men. Every one of us in here have our favorite truth speaker. Every one of us. We hang on every word that they say. "Well, I heard Jimmy Swaggart preach that, and I believe exactly, just exactly like that." Man, I heard Charles Stanley preach that. What a preacher, I believe. That man is truly a man of God, and I'm getting the truth. You just plug in your favorite into the blank. If that is truth, why is there 38,000 Protestant denominations in this world? And all of them are telling the truth. So it makes us scratch our heads and say, what is truth? When the question is, who is truth? Maybe we have got this a little bit different than we ought to have this. Maybe we've got the cart before the horse. Truth is not a pile of detached information. Now, I'm going to stand up here and tell you that I'm probably the worst for this. I watched this movie the other night, and they mentioned Gary Habermas two or three times. He's one of the leading Bible scholars in this country, specifically on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I went home, I got all my apologetics books out that I have, and I'm reading everything that Gary Habermas has got to say. He's got some really good things to say. And then I get out and I get William Craig out and I see what William Craig had. And I've got all this information going around, stacking up in my head. You know what happens to that information after 2 or 3 years go by? Get in a little circle of chairs. Reach over and tell your friend to pass the message on. Peas and carrots. And when it comes back around, see what the information is. In my own mind, 2 or 3 years down the line, I look at myself and say, man, I had this all straight and right there. And now I gotta start all over again. I'm saying to you this morning, when we draw nearer and nearer and closer to Jesus, we come to truth. There's a Christian newspaper that I read every now and then. I read a column in there. And they said, Bible experts are truly most dangerous to the growth of the church. And the author had a real good reason for that. Because their Bible knowledge comes in able to confront your Bible knowledge, that I can stand up and say, you, sir, are wrong because Genesis 1:1 says, Revelation 22 says, and everything in between says, you are wrong. Go to Jesus and listen to the words that He says. Draw near to Him, get a hold of His garment, and you will know truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
It became so real to me this week that all the panic attacks that I'm having about this nation and who's going to be the president and whether they're going to come to my house and take all of my guns away from me, all that panic needs to be set aside and draw closer to Jesus Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. That's where truth comes from. I don't care what Donald D. Trump says. I really don't care what Hillary the mad woman says. I don't care. What's true, what's real, is what he says. I'll confess, and my wife will say a loud amen, I have more books than I could ever read until the day I die.
Amen.
I started through the books this week looking for a certain book that I remember having. I found 3 of them, one of which I just bought again last week because I didn't remember I had it. Don't laugh. Some of you in the same way. You have got stacks of DVDs this tall from your favorite truth teller. You have got CDs this tall. They've just been here this week from your favorite truth teller. Let me say my heretical statement here. We can get so deep into Bible study, we miss the truth.
Come on. Yes, sir.
We miss it. And I'll tell you, I'll answer the question some of you got in your mind right now, because I had it. But it says, pastors, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divideth the word of truth. Remember? Do you know there is nowhere in the Bible that says study? It ain't there. Not in the Hebrew, not in the Greek. The Greek word that's used in Timothy there is be diligent. Be diligent to show yourself a workman unto God. Be diligent. How am I going to be diligent to learn the truth? Man, this is, I know this, it flew in the face of everything I've ever learned. But it's real to me. Put down the Bible and get close to Jesus. If you want to get close to Jesus, pick up the Bible and read what He says and do what He says. I'm not reading this so I can shut down my Baptist brother. I'm reading this because Jesus said it.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's truth. This whole thing that we get into, it originated in the Garden of Eden. Well, at least I'm convinced now that it is. It originated with a lady and a snake. Did God really say?
Come on, Pastor.
She didn't know. We can't touch it. We can't even look at it. God didn't say that. The devil said, God didn't mean what He said. He doesn't want you to eat that fruit because then you will be like Him, knowing. You will be like Him, knowing. You, woman, and then Adam, you, man, will know. To me, that's the very beginning of this horrendous religion called humanism. People knowing. People knowing. Let's build a tower that goes all the way into heaven because we know how to do it.
Yes, sir. Come on, Pastor.
We live in a nation right now that is bound, literally bound in chains by a religion called humanism, a belief that mankind has had, always will have, all of the answers. And if we could just kill religion, men could go on to do all the things that men can do. You, humanism, shall know rationalism. Rationalism. Why do you believe in Jesus? There is no rational reason to do it. Man, I found stuff this week I didn't even know was out there. Didn't find it in the Bible. I found it in history books written by historians talking about Jesus. What did that do for me through this week? It has made me want to draw closer to Him. For I am truth. I'm truth. Perhaps the church would regain its power If we would simply get in the boat with Jesus, and when the question comes, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. You are the very Son of the living God. Man has not revealed this to you, Peter. A theologian has not revealed this to you. Rush Limbaugh has not revealed that to you. Jimmy Swaggart has not revealed this to you. Benny Hinn has not revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has revealed truth to you. Maybe it would be good if we put away the books, put away the CDs, maybe even slid the Bible away for a little while and get on our knees and simply say, God, Holy Spirit, come flood me with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Flood me so that I know from you, not from somebody else. One of our ladies in the church said several years ago, she said something in a Sunday school class that was absolutely not biblical. And I don't, if I find something, like, I'm going to say something. That's just the way I am. And I said, Sister, could you show me when she said, the Bible says, thus and so. She's sitting right over there. And I said, Sister, could you show me where it says what you just said it says? And she went through and she got back and she looked in the back where the notes were at. And then she said, you know, I think I heard Pastor say that. Pastor said it one time. That became absolute truth. I honor this pulpit. This is a special holy place. Yes, sir. But we're still human beings. And we say things sometimes that just are not true. I've heard stories. I mean, some of the stories that you hear, that they just come from a very ripe imagination. Maybe we need to ask God, say, God, would you just dump? Could I push a delete button, have a huge memory dump, and Holy Spirit, would you begin putting in me truth?
Yes.
Will you bring into me truth? Truth. Truth. Truth like, forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. That's true. Honey, believe that's true. You know right where it's at in your Bible. But how many, when you get the chance, not for me, not today, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. Get over it. Get over it. When you feel like that, look at Jesus on the cross and get over it. When you think I'm just getting treated so stinking bad, you don't know how bad. Look at Paul and Silas chained to a wall and get over it. That's truth. Don't handpick your truth. Don't handpick books, verses that are simply there for your immediate pulling out to prove somebody else wrong. I was talking to somebody this week, and I can't remember who it was. I can't remember what I had. I didn't have breakfast this morning, that's right. Help me here. I didn't eat. Okay. I can't remember who he's talking about these things. But I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking about how things are changing and how we don't agree. But I was telling them, Terry Keeling, I was telling them, I said, brother, if you stop your stuff, if you stop the Pentecostal stuff and get back to the very basics, you're going to find more Christian brothers and sisters than you ever knew existed. Something happened at the Southern Baptist Convention this year that was awesome. Awesome. They voted for a new president of the SBC. Two guys won the vote. They were tied. They were tied. Half voted for this man, half voted for this man. And finally one in a gesture of humility that I don't know if you see much around a church, he backed off and he said, I'll prefer my brother. Let him, he can step into being the Baptist. Do you know what was splitting the two guys and splitting the people that was voting for him? Eternal security. Half of the Baptist church wants to go back to the strict Calvinist, once saved, always saved. The other half of the church says, no, that needs to be moderated. And it split a vote. All they had to do was come down to the fact, what do we believe? We believe in one God, eternally existing in three divine persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe that the Bible is the verbally inspired Word of Almighty God. We believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, buried, and raised from the dead. I have no problems with that. Come here, my Lutheran brother. If you believe that, let me hug you. That's truth. But we gotta get into this other stuff that just divides everybody. And I'm not preaching ecumenism. Don't worry about that. I'm not preaching one world church. Because we're going to see it develop. It's developing right now. That one world church is forming all around us. But I'm saying that Jesus Christ is truth. Lord, reveal to me, as you did to Peter, exactly who Jesus is. Is there anybody in here that struggled ever with a mental assent that Jesus is Lord? In your mind, you know He's Lord. But in your heart, He hasn't quite got from here to here. From here to here. I'd be willing to bet that 50% of Christian people are at that place where He's not got from here to here. Oh, they trust Him. Why? Because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it says. But is He truly Lord? Is He Lord? God, would You give to us a Holy Spirit-inspired revelation of who this Jesus really, truly is? This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Suddenly in my heart, they all become crystal clear in the personage of Jesus Christ. You know no freedom, you know no peace until you know Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
And the Word. In John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him, nothing would be created that is created. And down in the 14th verse it says, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him, the only Son of God. In seeing Him, how? The glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, I don't want to know you anymore on red words on a piece of paper. I want a revelation of who you are in my heart that changes me forever and ever and ever. I don't want to know more facts, more figures. I want to know Jesus. I want more of Him. Truth has taken so, and I want to close now. The truth is so what we make it. One of the best stories I ever heard concerning what is truth concerned a pastor and one of the saints of the church. A little gray-haired lady had been in that church since the first brick went into the church. She knew everybody in that church, and she knew everybody's business in that church. She stood up one day . She said, "Brothers and sisters, we have a problem. We have a problem. Our pastor is an alcoholic." How does she know that? "Because I went down and I saw his pickup parked in front of the bar. He's an alcoholic." She confronted that pastor. Pastor didn't say anything to defend himself. They went home. What's the pastor going to do? The pastor parked his pickup in front of her house that night. Now we'll see what truth really is. Will truth be the truth? Or is truth just simply what we say it to be? Let me end with this. I know that I have not in any way, shape, or form done this any justice. I absolutely know that I haven't. Truth is Jesus. One of the greatest mathematicians of the entire human race that ever lived. Observe this. Truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we know the truth or unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. There is so much wickedness and so much evil. Unless we love the truth, we cannot know the truth. Seek after Him who is truth. Seek a closer. Can I get any closer to Jesus than what I am? You can. Get so close that He offers to you. Go ahead, put it in my side. Touch my hands. Feel me. Feel me. That's how real I am. And let's put aside, with everything that we have, this simple head knowledge of facts and figures, and work on knowing the truth, because that truth will set you free. If we want to know the truth, we need to get closer to Jesus. We need to come to know Him better. We need to study Jesus. Look at Him. Not just words about Him, but look at Him. Look at what He's doing here. He's at work in this world. Yes, He is. Do what He did. See what He saw. Hear what He listened to. And become more like Him. And let the world see truth. Let the world see our truth isn't enclosed in four walls on 11 o'clock Sunday morning. My truth is reality every day of my life because He is my reality every day of my life. He alone is my focus every single day of my life. Oh God, I wish I could get there. I am not there. I'm not there. I may be the last one in line, but that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. Amen. Father, reveal Jesus to us in such a way that we are absolutely forced to say without a hesitation, without a doubt, my Lord and my God. Show to us Jesus that we can with absolute open hearts speak. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Not simply because somebody told me, because you have demonstrated me. If you're here this morning and Jesus is simply, not just a curse word, that Jesus maybe just be that Christmas card. But something down on the inside of you right now is saying to you very clearly and very loudly, Jesus Christ is real. A real Savior. A real forgiver. A real restorer. Listen to that voice. For that's the voice of grace. That's the voice of God. And that voice is telling you, and you know it. The inside of you, the little man on the inside of you is nodding his head saying, voice, you're right. I've never, never really acknowledged Jesus for who He is. I thought I'd get through life without Him. I thought I could just figure my own way through this thing. I thought that man inside of me, man really did have the answer. But this morning, I really am not sure. That's your call. That's Jesus calling you right now. He's asking you to acknowledge Him, Savior and Lord. He's asking you to repent of your sin. What does repent mean? It simply means to change the direction that you're going. And it starts with a change in your mind. You don't ever have to worry about what is sin, what isn't sin. If you ask the Holy Spirit, He'll show you. And you see things now on the inside of you that you know they're not right. Ask Jesus to make Himself so real and to do it by forgiving your sins. Ask Him to be Lord of your life, and as you change directions with your life, that He will always go with you. And He has complete and total lordship over all the things you do, you say, you are, you want to be. He's Lord now of my life. And every day, Lord, I want to know You better. And I'll pray and I'll read my Bible, but I just want to know You better. God, help me close my ears, Lord, to the din of stuff that goes on out there, and let me focus on Jesus and who Jesus is. And I'm going to give you the praise. Father, this congregation, people who are absolutely hungry for more of you, and there is more. And there is more that you're willing to reveal of yourself. If we simply open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and His wrecking crew, have Him come in and do away with things that aren't pleasing to you, you're willing to show more and more and more of yourself. And that we would grow and we would mature from level to level, from step to step, until we come to the perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us with that, Lord, today. Help us with that. Make it our priority in life. And we will forever give you the praise in Jesus' most precious name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.